Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up.
Foolishness and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi.
To another episode of Queer Magnolias.
Here we are.
Yes, in the flesh.
Put your top back on, miss. Honey.
Shucks, y'all done caught me without my top on.
So this week, Magnolias, instead of our light fare that we are usually known for, I did want to sort of talk about something a little heavier, and it's about an article that I actually sent to everyone here about a young man by the name of Mark who attempted suicide. And he did this as a result of being shunned by his community, his religious community, when they found out that he was a gay, not only gay, but also in love with someone else at the church.
Yes.
He was shunned, and he was accused of being a predator and all these different things. And it eventually led to his attempted suicide.
Girl, you're giving a lot away in the intro, but come on with that.
Sorry.
So, yes, it is going to be a heavy
It's
episode.
All those things, yeah.
This right. ain't light and fun and funny, but we will find a way to make it real.
Yeah, this is not your diet food episode, honey. We are getting into heavy cream.
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a whole other episode, too. But we'll talk about that some other time.
Oh, heavy cream. Wait, let me think. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So... let's just kick this off. I mean, I feel like every one of us, being from North Carolina, being from the South, the Deep South, the Bible Belt, we know this boy. We know the story. We know that church. We know that mama.
Exactly. I was going to say exactly the same thing.
And what hurts me so much is that in 2022, it's no different than it was in 1992. Or
1978. That's right, George. That's right.
It's terrible, and it's sad that, well, I mean, there's so many different angles to attack this from. Let's just start with the thing that probably angers me the most. Mark's mom, who, for the sake of the article, and the article is by James Finn. It's an article that I came across on Twitter and was very moved by. And in the article, James refers to Mark's mom as Tammy, which that seems to be a pseudonym. And yes. Let's just get right to the point. She abandoned her son for the longest time, believing, siding with the church and trying to change her son and trying to convert him and put him into, conversion therapy and all of these different things that she did. And that angers me.
All right. And I agree. But let's give the audience the backstory.
Yeah. So this, sorry, go on, George.
No, girl, go ahead. So you can tell the story.
So this is a kid that has a mom and dad, which mm-hmm. is important as well to note that it's not a single parent. It's a double parent. It's a mom and dad. And this is a gay kid who...
16 years old at the start of the story. 16.
And he has a friend that he falls in love with. And this isn't a one-sided affair. This is they both are
it's
in
mutual.
Love with
it's
each
mutual.
Other. Right.
And they met in Bible study, and they are the same age. Very important for the story. Same age.
Oh, yes. Very important.
And that is probably one of the most important things, because this is not a predator story. These are peers. These are peers who have liked and fallen in love with each other. And according to Mark, it's just simply an easygoing story. It's not like they're having these wild, torrid affairs and they're on OnlyFans and all this stuff. They simply like and love each other.
The thing that broke my heart was he makes a comment in this story. He makes a quote to this writer where he says, "It wasn't about sex. I just wanted someone to love." Yep.
Yes, I totally agree. And, you know, sometimes in life it is all about, I want someone to love, but I also want someone to love me.
Yep.
And what we find out in this story is this poor child or young man, whatever you want to call him, needs love and he needs attention and he finds it. And how wonderful is that, that he finds it? And it should be the most beautiful and celebrated thing, and it isn't.
Because sadly, they communicated all the time, like everyone who's young in love does. And if I had a cell phone when I was 16, girl, I would have blown it up.
Honey, I'd have been all over what?
But here's a, so I didn't, but they do. And of course, Snapchat. Great, Snapchat. Because the messages disappear.
Right.
Unless, yes, of course, you screenshot them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which apparently
is exactly what happened.
Is exactly what happened for Mark's beloved, who they call Patrick in the story. So we'll say Patrick. So Patrick screenshots, and because, you know, maybe he wants to look at them while he was in class, like, oh my gosh, like, you're in love. You are a starry-eyed teenager. Right. Who knows?
Honey, I'm almost 60 fucking years old, and I do the same thing.
I'm going to tell you, if someone sent me a love note, I would screenshot it.
Absolutely. I mean,
well, Danny, you're not really screenshotting love notes. But, okay. But yes, I hear you.
I'm taking a picture with a camera, and taking a picture of the phone, but it's similar.
but here's what's important, actually, having made that comment. It is important to note here that the screenshots through Snapchat were not sexual in nature. Nothing was sexual. It was all about, it was love notes, basically.
I wish you were here right now.
Right.
I wish we could be together. Yes.
And how simple and loving and
beautiful
kind is that? And beautiful. And that's what a 20-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 60-year-old, a 40-year-old, a 90-year-old, that's what everyone would like to get.
Until your Christian, conservative, Bible-thumping Republican parents get a hold of your phone.
Exactly. Yes.
And then they approach the parents of the boy you're talking to on your phone at church and say, we have a problem. Your son
is trying to convert
our son to a homosexual.
Yes.
And if he doesn't stop, we're going to tell the entire church community and the community that he is a sexual predator.
A sexual predator, and put the person on a registry that cannot be erased. That's something, when you're on a registry, you don't get to appeal to someone and all of a sudden it becomes erased. It gets out into the ethers, the internet. Everyone knows it.
And everything logically in me says that's bullshit because they're the same age. But I don't know what state this was. And I'm sure it was much like North Carolina. And it wouldn't be bullshit. They would say, oh, well, you're right, because we're all in the same church. Let's just do it. Let's put him on the registry. Let's ruin his life.
Right. But aside from that, too, there's also the community bullying, right? There's the, if you're outing someone at 16 years old who has zero resources and at the time, no support from anyone
around him. Support.
And he's trying to figure it out for himself at 16 years old. Think back when you were 16. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing at 16. And I wouldn't know where to turn in a situation like this. And it was completely over. I could imagine just how overwhelming it was for him.
And we, you know, we had no place to turn. Excuse me. And neither did this guy. I mean, he turned to his parents. So here's a big thing that in this article, the mother, Tammy, with air quotes, is talked about and she's talked to, and there's some situations that we'll get to as the podcast goes along. But Tammy is the one that the mother who gave birth to him, who is not supportive, not sympathetic, and she does all of these things to not help her child that she gave birth to. That's the thing that I'm so crazy, ridiculously furious at. This is somebody you carry to term. This is your child. Now, I understand church. Everybody who listens to our podcast knows that I grew up religious and I am spiritual now. And I try so hard not to run against the church. But this podcast, I'm going to run against the church. This is some fucked up shit. not only is the church, but their parents of his parents' affiliation with the church is so wrong.
And no, I think it's important to point out too that it's the they're Southern Baptists, and that is noted in the article.
Thank you for saying that, because it's
there
not...
are different types of religion that have different points of view.
Yes, because what Dan is saying, he's not running against religion. This church, I'm going to run against what this church is saying.
That is very true. And the thing is, they hear from the minister that this is wrong.
Yeah, he's filled their heads with all this misinformation, and you know that he's going to burn in hell, and he's fire and brimstone, and all the stuff that comes with Southern Baptist religion.
So, which is a funny thing, because growing up, Southern Baptist was a lot tamer than what I grew up. I grew up as a Free Will Baptist. It was hell and brimstone every day of the week, 7 days a week. The Southern Baptist often believe in predestination. So Rick has been predestined to go to heaven. George has been predestined to go to hell.
Y'all
so
heard that here first, bitches.
Right? There's a, well, everybody knows that I got it backwards. I was trying to play the game, but
Dan, bring gin and ice when you join me.
Honey, trust me, I'm gonna have ice delivered every day of the week. I've got a Prime account from Amazon. So but the thing is, here is a child who says to his mom or his parents, I'm going to say his parents because the dad is so left out of this story.
Yeah, very much so.
And I believe on purpose, but that's my feeling. But this child says, you know, this is what's going on, because let's say he's confronted and he said, you know, yes, I like person B. So the mother says, basically, go screw yourself. I side with the church.
I think there's other important things to say here, too. So okay, according to the article, there it's not just the church. They're also a Fox News family.
And yeah, we all know Tucker Carlson, Fox News is, completely.
Right, okay, right. Okay.
They're also fans of Perjury Taylor Greene. Sorry, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
you got it right the first time.
And other groups like Moms for Liberty and other, you know, anti-LGBTQ community, groups. And a lot of that sort of feeds into that same narrative. And, you know, one of the things that sort of she talks about now in this article is how she just sort of went down this rabbit hole of misinformation, and how she's made to believe that, according to all these people that are coming at her left and right, she's made to believe that her son is being indoctrinated, and therefore he's also being charged to go and indoctrinate other people as well.
So I want to talk about that for a minute. I want to talk about this mother. She was wrong. We all agree she was wrong.
Yes.
But in her heart, she was doing everything that she actually believed and was brought up to believe was right to save her son. And that's a fucking hard place to be. Now, I'm not giving any excuses, and I'm not saying when your son is trying to commit suicide that you shouldn't rethink your fucking thought structure.
Thank you.
Because that didn't happen on the first attempt at
or
all.
Or the second.
You know, it took... what it took was her getting kicked out of her church for her to realize,
that religion.
Maybe
not
I
there
was
for
wrong,
me. Right?
Yeah.
That I'm backing the wrong horse here.
Which I'm just going to say for the record, the jury's still out on mom for me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but Dan, I think we can talk about this. Yes, raise your hand because I think, like, if you're saying, well, I'm on God's side, what you believe is God's will, that's a hard place to fucking be.
I guess not back from.
So. Here's my thought about that. So, yes, I think it is a hard place to come back from. And I think that I give her less than probably everyone else gives her.
Oh, okay.
Because that's your child.
No, 100%.
Honestly, in the religious world, God gifted you a child. And your child tries to commit suicide. Not once, but more than once. And you're going to stand by what some preacher and Fox News analyst tells you? you fucked up.
So, then so it's the equivalent of truth. It's the equivalent of TMZ people.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it is, but so there again, I don't really, so God gives each of us who are not completely special needs and without an ability of to reason with the brain, God gives each of us the ability to reason. Your child tried to kill themselves. There is nothing. I don't care how much your preacher told you, how much Fox News told you, how much anyone told you, I will ever let you get away with, because that's wrong. Your child tried to take their life, and if you don't wake the fuck up, there's something wrong.
And when that child says to you, when you take away their only land, their only lifeline by cutting out their therapy, you have just killed me, and you do it any fucking way.
And you right? do it still. That you do, is...
and not just once, not just once. That's the thing.
Repeatedly.
What we know is this stuff still happens, and it breaks my heart, because it's like, this is a human being. And this mother kept ignoring the fact. So I will not be passionate about this. I'll just be factual about this. So it turns out that she allowed her son to go to therapy. Then she cut it off. Then she allowed her son to go to therapy and she cut it off.
And to be clear, it was gay therapy. It was with a group called Rainbow Youth Project.
Who, yeah, exactly. Who actually kept working with him. And I correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think they worked with him sort of below the scene, so to speak, and sort of just to try and keep touch with him. And just
they're based in UCLA.
Yeah.
UCLA, where I don't know where he's based, but no, it was very intensive because he was very much at risk.
He was a high risk youth. And he's the kind of person that would be locked up in the mental section of any hospital because he tried to commit suicide.
And here's a quote from the article that sends me the fuck off about the mother.
Sorry.
The reason that she decided to cancel his therapy the first time, I hated seeing him happy in being gay.
It is infuriating. What a comment to say. I hated seeing my son be happy, period. Doesn't matter if he's gay or whatever. You hated seeing your son be happy because he wasn't what you wanted him to be. He was happy and you couldn't stand it.
So here's one thing that I know that goes on in the lives of parents. Some parents, they say, oh, my child is gay. I wish my child wasn't gay because my child would be happier if they were not gay. Or parents say, I wish my child wouldn't date this person or that person. Or my child wouldn't be a doctor. I'd rather my child be an attorney. These are the things that happen. And I understand parents want the best for their children. But if your child tried to kill themselves and you're worried about your child being happy, really? And this world wonders why gay people shouldn't adopt children? Maybe we should look at why some straight people shouldn't be allowed to have children.
Well, and I think it's also very telling when a parent says, I wish my child wasn't gay so they would be happier. I think the more truthful comment is, I wish my child weren't gay so I could be happier.
Because the truth in what she said, what is the underlying statement of what she said, I was more comfortable when he was miserable being gay,
yep.
when he was suicidal being gay.
Yes.
And now that he's happy being gay, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yes. And that is so heartbreaking for me. It really is. It's so telling.
And what's interesting to me, though, is how she is so entranced with all of the pastors that are telling her about her son going to hell and he's going to die and all of these things. But when she meets with the counselors who are telling her, I want to tell you, and this is a quote from the article, I want to tell you, God doesn't hate anybody. Right. You know, and
God never hates people.
She chose not to believe that, but to instead believe being told that he was going to go to hell.
And the saddest thing about that, yeah, she says in the article, like, well, that resonated with me, but I chose to, like, overlook that because of some email I had just gotten from some conservative Christian group about, because she believed, and I don't even know where this comes from. Is this what the conservative Christian right is saying to their constituents about gays these days? Is that gay and lesbian is over. It's all about trans now. So if your kids are saying I'm gay, well, we... as older gays are going to say, you can't be gay. You got to be trans.
And so that's so funny because I think she references an episode with Tucker Carlson, who actually makes the comment about the fact that the gay community is trying to convince your children to cut off their penis and become a female. Nobody is fucking doing that. One more time for the people in the back. Nobody is fucking doing that.
Say it loud.
The most ridiculous scare tactic piece of fucking shit phrase I've ever heard in my life. Tucker Carlson can suck my goddamn cock.
Okay. Yes.
You follow that up, honey.
Yes, I will. Tucker, call Rick.
You, Tucker. Call me, motherfucker. Call me. I got words for you.
Rick is 100% right. This is something that is a scare tactic now among the religious people in this country. If your child is anything other than heterosexual, your child is being indoctrinated. Number one, no.
Your child is being indoctrinated by these fucking radical extremist people on the right who are saying all this shit is happening when it's not fucking happening. You're being indoctrinated if you fucking believe that.
Yeah, not that. Right. Jesus is calling.
Well, and Rick is 100% right. They want to deflect because they are indoctrinating. They are saying, I am going to tell you how to live and how to vote. And you will be happy because I'm going to tell you. And if you dare say, what about, then you're wrong. And they don't care how they decimate you to prove that you're wrong. Once again, I am going to come back to the mom who I cannot give one inch. So, yes, at the end of the article.
At the end, she got told she was wrong by the church.
Yes. So let's talk about that. So what happened is the church said, yeah, we're going to cut you off. We don't like what you're doing. So you are cut off because you're wrong. Your child is gay and you might approve of that. You might let your child have therapy. So you have got to go because the other family had prevailed upon the church that her son
was go with
indoctrinating
this.
Their son.
Yes, so because let's say that out loud.
Yep.
And Kathy, stop listening because I'm going to use a really awful word. That cunt who was the mother of the other son, no matter what this poor boy did, this poor boy who was like trying to kill himself did to disappear. She's like, you know what? That's not enough. I'm going to tell the church. I'm going to call it out. What you tried to do to my son.
Yeah. Your
That's
son,
why the church said, no with you and your son. Too much trouble. Too much trouble. We can't.
Your son was being indoctrinated. Your son doesn't have legitimate feelings. He was being told how he needed to feel by someone else the same age as him who is going through all of these mental health issues at the time and trying to hurt himself. And there's even a point here where they're talking about he started stabbing himself with a pencil.
In the hospital.
Yes. It's just it infuriates me how no one can see what they're doing to this fucking kid because they're so blinded by this goddamn.
And don't care.
Jesus. Yeah.
So I mean, all of us are worked up. So Patrick's parents don't give a fuck about him. Patrick's parents don't give a fuck about who Patrick loves or needs in his life. This story is not about
as long as it's Christ. He needs to love and need Christ. Nothing else.
So the story is not about Patrick, but Patrick is, You know, Patrick is that person that's been splattered by the bus that drives by and throws mud on everybody. Patrick is not a willing participant. He is
To be fair, though, in the article, it doesn't really talk about much about Patrick, so we don't really know what Patrick's through.
We will get to Patrick and what happened to him. At the end of the story, at least.
Yeah.
At some point in this podcast, we will get to that.
Until then, what I can say is the mother believed the church. She believed Fox News. She didn't believe her child until they got kicked out of the church. And then all of a sudden she's like, well, maybe my poor child. Really? No, it's not about your poor child now. It's about your church membership. They've asked you out. Now, all of a sudden, after several attempts at suicide, you're worried about your poor child.
And again, like I said, the jury's still out on mom. No, it ain't.
No, sorry.
I know you said it. You've said it 30 times in the 30 minutes that we've been talking here. But we know how you feel. But I am going to say, where the article leaves things for me, and I've said this to George separately, the jury is still out on the mom. Okay. Sure, she had a, pardon the term, a come to Jesus moment about the whole thing. sure she had sort of a change in her point of view and everything by the end of the article. And I do believe that in a sense it's hopeful. If it's true and she continues down this path, it is hopeful, as dire and as awful and as diabolical as it has been up to that point. If she's truly turned around, then to me, it's a hopeful story. It ends up as a hopeful story.
And I say this, like, to the author, I want an update.
Yes, exactly.
Where are we today? You have brought us into this story and I fucking want to know.
Yes. But Patrick, let's talk a little bit about Patrick. As I mentioned, that Patrick, the article doesn't really go into very much detail with Patrick. Go ahead, George, you can say this.
So what we do know about Patrick from the article is that when he and Mark first met in Bible study, they were sitting together and the preacher was going on and on about how all gays go to hell. And Patrick said to Mark in a whisper, you know, all this is bullshit. And they became very good friends. And then one day, Mark wanted to share a secret. And he said to Patrick, I need to tell you something I've never told anyone else. And before he could say it, Patrick said, we're both gay. And that was the beginning of a beautiful, beautiful love story that ended so tragically. At the very end of the article, we find out after Mark has been hospitalized numerous times, and finally his mother comes around, the church has kicked him out, and all this, and Patrick's mother has gone to everybody and just proclaimed that Mark's a sexual predator and it's this horrible, horrible woman. Her own son is hospitalized under mysterious circumstances for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are left off with Patrick.
Yeah, that's all we know about Patrick. And unfortunately, given how aggressive and unrelenting they were about Mark being the aggressor here and Mark being the one that's trying to convert her son, I don't know that we're going to get that story anytime soon.
I'm sure that they're like, okay, well, we're going to pack you off to conversion therapy camp because that's what's going to help with those Southern Baptist ministers. They're going to fix it for you. And the poor kid's like, fuck that. Bring me the razor blade. I'm not doing this.
Right.
So I think that goes into a big thing that, you know, in life, we make choices, all of us. And what happens sometimes is, as with Mark, it gets to be too much. And Mark says, you know, I don't want to live this life anymore. And it happens to a lot of people. Mark's not the only one. This isn't just us talking about
this. Suicide is not a new thing. For sure.
It's not a new thing.
And unfortunately, it's not a new thing to our community either. And, there have been many stories in the news over the years about young LGBTQ kids, older people as well, But in particular, young LGBT kids who have been bullied in school, who have been bullied by people in their community or even family members that have committed suicide because they knew no other way out. And to me, that is just, I guess I would want to say to anyone who is actually contemplating suicide to know that it does get better. That it may seem hopeless right now, but it will get better. And there is going to, if you can just hang tough, you will find your people, you will find your tribe, and it will get better. But if you're in immediate crisis, you should reach out and talk to someone, whether it's the National Suicide Hotline, whether it's the Rainbow Youth Organization or the Trevor Project or any group that that you can find, reach out, talk to someone, talk to a friend, talk to a teacher, just reach out and talk to somebody.
Okay. You want a really sobering statistic?
Yes.
Less than half of the states in this country have banned conversion therapy. Less than half. And let me give you a guess as to where all those states are. I'm not going to let you guess. They're the West Coast and the East Coast. And every fucking thing in the middle, including fucking Florida, Dan.
Yes.
They're like, it's totally legal. Let's do it.
Yes. And it is important to recognize that. So conversion therapy doesn't work. No one thinks it works. Except crazy people or people
in Southern Baptist.
Well, okay. I said crazy people, honey, or people that are looking to indoctrinate people, children. You know, the funny thing is, at my age, nobody says, oh, let me convert you.
At my age, see how that works?
No. So let's be serious because, you know, I make fun of myself, but let's be serious for a second. When you're 60 years old, nobody wants to convert you because they already know you're too fucking old.
Somehow they're not worried about your soul.
But when you're 15 or 12 or 8 or 19, they're looking to convert you.
Impressionable. The key word you're looking for is impressionable.
And your parents still say, I want grandchildren.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, and it's controllable, which is the big thing because it's parents. I mean, honestly, no cousins don't send you to conversion therapy.
You don't parents send yourself.
And parents do.
And one other thing I wanted to sort of talk about real quick is that this happened. We don't know exactly where it happened, but we know they're Southern Baptist, so we know kind of the area where it happened. My point is, here in Southern California, just recently, there was a college student that I learned about through a friend of mine who was kicked out of his home. And he's, 21, 22 years old, college student? He's kicked out of his home for being gay, and he was homeless, and he was living in his car. Yep. And, you know, George, I recently sort of connected him with you to the center, to sort of, you know, to their youth homelessness program, or the youth program, I think it is. And but that happened here in Southern California. In the year 2022.
California's a lot more than Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Right.
Yes.
Well, yes. Southern California is here in LA. So,
but
and even that just blows my mind. To me, that is unfathomable that it would happen in this area in this year to someone that old. But it happened. And so it just kind of drove home the fact for me that you know, a lot of our kids are still not safe. They're not in safe spaces.
What I do love about our podcast, and maybe it's unique, maybe it's not, but all of us, or none of us, experienced that. All of our parents.
Thank goodness.
Literally no one got kicked out.
Right. I'm very fortunate and very blessed that way. Unfortunately, not a lot of kids aren't as fortunate. Yes, but,
exactly.
So I have a friend that I know Rick knows. I don't think George knows, but I know that he was the youngest of four or five children. And at 16, his parents kicked everybody out, especially his dad. His dad kicked everybody out, but especially him at 14 because he was gay. And, you know,
14 is young to be on your own.
It's young, and he already knew he was gay, and he got a partner. But the thing is, it happens a lot. And it's important to realize that if you're a parent, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility from top to bottom. You can't choose the parts you'd like. And I don't care what church you go to. Trust me, if you'd like to chat with Dan, I have a lot of emails, phone numbers, social media. I will happily meet with somebody because I'm here to tell you, I grew up religious. I don't hate God. God loves me. But I got a problem if you put your child out.
So to the children, as children that are experiencing this, there are people out there. Look for them and put the feelers out. Reach out to us if you're listening to this. We can put you in touch with, like I said, with the Rainbow Youth Organization or any organization, the center here in Los Angeles or anybody like that. So, but reach out to someone that you know and trust and tell them what's going on. Silence equals death.
Yes, it does. Always. And we are friendly to both parents and youth.
Well, thank you guys for listening to us rant through this episode. Otherwise, Magnolias, thank you for joining me for this very passionate conversation this evening.
And a very important conversation. And we thank you for going along with us. And we mean every bit of this.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Queer Magnolias is a weekly podcast hosted by Rick Clifton, Danny White, and George Skinner. You can find us everywhere you find your podcasts, so please take a few minutes to leave a rating or review. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. If this is your first time joining us, please subscribe to receive the next episode automatically. Thank you for following us on Twitter at Queer Magnolias and on Instagram at Queer Magnolias Podcast. Or you can email us at queermagnoliaspodcast@gmail.com.